Contact tracing apps, big data, big potential, and dangers. Joe Fathala, software developer, Cardiff East Socialist Party. Contact tracing is not a new idea. For example, it has been used for decades by sexual health clinics to try to identify and inform anyone who may have had sexual contact with a patient diagnosed with MSTI. It's a lot harder, however, to keep track of everyone you've been within a 2-meter radius of. Community-based contact tracing teams would provide the necessary local knowledge, accountability, and flexibility that a purely central scheme lacks. But if contact tracing staff re-operating alongside new technology, in particular smartphones and big data, it could help maximize that system's power. Not all phones have the technology required to operate an app-based system, however. Indeed, some of those most at risk, including the elderly, are the most likely groups to have older or basic mobile phones, or even not have them at all. This necessitates the use of manual-only tracing for these at-risk demographics. The government has announced recruitment of 18,000 tracers working with councils and the NHS, asking people who they've been in contact with. This is a start, although probably much more will be needed, along with proper resources, rather than just headline-grabbing announcements. And there are also political complications that come with new technology. On the 29th of April, 177 cybersecurity experts wrote to the government. They said it is vital that, when we come out of the current crisis, we have not created a tool that enables data collection on the population, or on targeted sections of society, for surveillance. Location tracking. One approach is a smartphone app which monitors a phone's location. If the phone's user is later diagnosed with coronavirus, it then automatically informs other phones which had come within 2 meters by text message. This would involve sharing an uninterrupted stream of location data with either the state or a private company. We've already seen how tech companies collect highly personal data and sell it for a profit. As they say in Silicon Valley, if you're not paying for it, then you're the product being sold. In the internet age, companies like Google and Facebook can know us better than we know ourselves. They use that data in an unaccountable manner for profit interests. Effectively, almost every app we use is a kind of legal spyware. This design might also run into technical problems with multi-story buildings. If you're living in a block of flats, the satellites tracking your location may struggle to tell which floor you're on, and could think you've been in close contact with those living above or below you. This issue would, of course, disproportionately affect working-class people living on estates and in tower blocks. Nonetheless, in South Korea this kind of approach has been successful. On the 30th of April, it became the first country to have suffered over 10,000 cases that was able to report a day with no new cases. However, it came with draconian restrictions on personal freedoms, such as credit card transaction monitoring, tracking wristbands for those breaking quarantine laws, and making it compulsory for new arrivals in the country to download the app. More to the point, South Korea also implemented an effective mass testing program. Meticulous searches and confirmed diagnoses informed that system. It is this which has been the major factor in keeping the number of recorded deaths to less than 300 so far. The UK system will apparently rely on self-reporting of symptoms instead. Bluetooth alternative. The UK app seems to use an alternative to constant location tracking, Bluetooth technology, which also avoids possible height off the ground problems. Phones coming within one another's radius for a given length of time would exchange private tokens, rather like electronic business cards. These could be stored for a certain time on the other phone. Then, if one of the app users develops symptoms of COVID-19, they can inform the app, which will text every phone holding a token from the suspected carrier's phone. The Tories have proposed the Isle of Wight as the test zone, because it is isolated, and so easier to control. But if, as senior cabinet minister Michael Gove has hinted, it involves early lifting of lockdown measures, then residents will effectively be guinea pigs. We say any testing of the app must not entail reduction of other safety measures. Workers and residents should decide democratically when and how it is safe to begin lifting restrictions. A Bluetooth token system could be preferable from a privacy point of view as it can operate without a central database. But the government's app seems to be a kind of hybrid, using both Bluetooth technology and a central database. Central databases do have important legitimate functions, such as data analysis by medical and public health professionals to find hotspots. However, in the context of mass working class anger even before the pandemic, and likely social upheavals after it, a precedent for this kind of detailed mass electronic surveillance is troubling. Data Democracy. Britain's capitalist state already has a record of secretly infiltrating democratic workers' movement organizations, including trade unions and the Socialist Party. The Chinese state and other regimes have shown how surveillance can be used to repress workers and youth organizing to fight for workers and democratic rights. It's vitally important that any database or central processing system be publicly owned, limited, and subject to transparent and democratic control. At the very least, we demand oversight committees comprising elected representatives from the workforce and the wider trade union movement. These committees could have remote access to the database at a metadata level, without being able to see personal details, to keep track of whose data is being stored, how long it has been held for, and who else has had access to it. Medical data can have exemptions from data protection laws, for legitimate reasons. But we say democratic rights within contact tracing must include free and immediate access for any individual to all data stored about them, as well as an agreed expiry date on records, and even the right to delete personal data in certain circumstances. Ultimately, only by removing the profit motive will it be possible for big databases to exist without threatening personal privacy and democratic rights. Public ownership of the banks and big business would eliminate the imperatives to sell advertising data, or to undermine movements which threaten private profit. This would also enable democratic, socialist planning of the economy. In this context, big data would not only be safer, but more thorough. It could finally be exploited to its full potential, to benefit the health system and all humanity, not to enrich tech billionaires, and facilitate state snooping.